We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We are part of the Blue Wire Network. I am Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm joined by Jace and Pat. Jace, it is Mickey Mouse March, as the great podcast, You Know Ball, I believe, came up with that term. And so we should know better than to draw huge takeaways from whatever is going on in the NBA this month. But perhaps it is not a coincidence that the Chicago Bulls seem to be floundering pretty badly right now. The Bulls have lost 6 of their last 9 games. They are now 34-38 overall. They are still in the number 9 seed, but they are only a game and a half up on the Atlanta Hawks for the 10 seed. Of course, that position will determine who has home court advantage for the first round of the play-in tournament when the Bulls and the Hawks play an elimination game right after the regular season ends. The Bulls are coming off a devastating loss for those of us who put 3 figures on the Bulls over total before the season started, losing to the Washington Wizards 107-109. This comes on the heels of a loss to the Boston Celtics, a team that did not have Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis in the lineup. And before that, the Bulls lost to the Houston Rockets. So Coby White back in the lineup for the Bulls. That is good news. It's sort of been like a slow comeback for Coby. That's to be expected, but he's looking pretty good. DeMar DeRozan continues to carry the Bulls in just about every situation. He was excellent again against the Wizards, 27 points, 6 assists, 5 steals, just really what we've come to expect for DeMar. And it just seems like the Bulls get crushed when DeMar's not on the floor. So he is truly the floor raiser for this team, as he has been. Ayo Dosunmu continued to play really good offensive basketball in the month of March, averaging 17 points per game, 5.5 assists, 49% shooting from the field, 37% from 3 on 5.4 attempts per game. That's pretty impressive offensive output for Ayo, but the Bulls seem to get crushed in Ayo's minutes. So is Ayo's off-ball defense, which has always been a little bit shaky, sort of drowning the Bulls? But really, Jace, I think for a team like the Bulls, who has essentially played a 7-man rotation all season, what I think we've seen over the last couple of weeks is that the minutes load is starting to catch up with the core pieces of this team that have carried them all throughout the year. The finish line is close, but the finish line is not here yet. The Bulls just a week ago were 1 game under 500 again against the Rockets. They could have got to 500, but no, they fell apart. And since then, another long losing streak. So suddenly, you know, it's going to be a pretty tight race to the finish here. It looks like we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about, what, 10 games left?
10 games.
Like, 10 games left. So this is it, Jace. Stretch run for the Bulls in the regular season. How are you feeling about the team, Jason Pat?
I mean, it's a giant whatever at this point. They've been in the ninth seed. I'd have to look back at like the standings and see how long they've been in the ninth seed. We've basically been just feeling it's inevitable that they would host the 9-10 play-in game against the Hawks, as the Nets have totally fallen off. The Raptors, I think the Raptors have lost like 11 games in a row or something like that after trading away their whole team. And like, there were some moments there when the Bulls got to one game under. It was like, oh, like maybe if like the Sixers or the Heat like kind of keep free fall here, maybe the Bulls can get up to 8. Wrong. Absolutely not. The Bulls are going to be 9 or 10 as we expected. And now the 10 seed is in play. The Bulls and Hawks do play one more time. I believe that is like the first game of April. I think that's like next Monday or something. And at the United Center, the Bulls have beaten the Hawks. I believe they're 2-0 against them, so they would have the tiebreaker. But I mean, the Bulls play the Pacers tomorrow. They end the month, I think, then they go to Brooklyn. Brooklyn is bad, but I'm not going to count any game as a definite win after the Bulls lost the Wizards last night. Although that's the suddenly hot 3-game winning streak Wizards. And then they play at Minnesota to end the month. They play the Knicks like, I think, 3 times in April. So like, if things keep going south, the Bulls could easily end up as the 10 seed. I'm going to say right now that I think they're still going to end up at 9, because I don't believe the Hawks are any good either, especially without Trae Young, even though they erased a 30-point deficit against the number one in the league Boston Celtics in a hilarious game. Again, a peak Mickey Mouse March night in the NBA last night, with the Bulls losing to the Wizards, with the Celtics blowing that game, with the Suns losing to the Victor Wembanyama Spurs. Just a mess in the association at the end of March as we've had down the stretch run here, but ultimately, it's like whatever. Like, I'm not mad about the Bulls losing to the Wizards. Like, who cares? Like, it was a stupid game. They were down 15-0 in like the first 4 minutes. And then I figured, you know, I was like, oh, they're going to come back and win anyways. And they almost did. They almost pulled it out in the clutch again. But I mean, finally, for the first time in like a month, they actually lost the clutch game. Although they were given another great opportunity. The Wizards offense was awful down the stretch, as expected, without Kyle Kuzma, without Tyus Jones, with Jordan Poole shooting the ball all over the place. They missed a few free throws down the stretch in the final minute. But DeMar DeRozan had one last gasp shot from like half court to win the game, and he did not have the clutch magic on that one, and they finally lost a clutch game. I think that was the first clutch game they've lost like since that Pistons loss. I mean, I guess it's kind of fitting that that's the case. And the Bulls have been overachieving for basically since the Zach injury. They've been overachieving a bit because of the clutch record. Like, you go look at their plus minus, their net rating since then. Like, they're like 29 and 24 now since that initial Zach injury, but they have like a negative plus minus. But their clutch record is so good. They pulled out so many close games where they were able to keep a respectable record. You lose a game like last night, the Boston game. Like, Boston has, I mean, again, Boston's been dominant, even down guys. Like, they've getting like huge performances from Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, guys like that. And we saw that. I think Sam Hauser had like 8 threes in that game or something like that. I was watching the Illinois second round game and not Bulls Celtics, but I know I was tuning in at least to see what was going on in that Bulls game. But I mean, not no surprise that they lost to Boston. Again, that's like the best case scenario of your Bulls season here is making it through the play-in and then getting absolutely shellacked by the Boston Celtics. We've been saying that for a long time now, and really nothing has changed. But now with the way they have been playing these last few games, and we'll see how they look against the Pacers, who they did just beat. Now I am starting to wonder if they'll even get through the play-in tournament. I was kind of thinking that they would. They just had all this clutch magic. DeMar has been so good, but they just seem, yeah, they kind of worn down. Kobe has come back, but his shooting percentages are terrible. The team, like you said, they've been running a playoff rotation for 3 months now. Like, there's only, I was worried about them wearing down by the end of the season, and maybe we are seeing that again. Maybe they turn things around a bit at the end of the year and go into the play-in tournament looking good. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. If they get to the play-in tournament, the Boston Celtics are going to beat their ass ruthlessly. Maybe there's like one game where the Celtics choke badly and they blow like a 20-point lead or something, but we know how this ends. It's either going to be a just beat down at the Celtics, or they'll lose in the play-in tournament in stupid fashion. And that'll be that. Not mad about it. There'll be time to be angry about the front office and what they do, probably once AK has his postseason presser and tries to run a victory lap for bouncing back after Zach's injury. But right now, it's kind of a lot of apathy with the Bulls. There's again, I think they deserve credit for the guys on the court for kind of keeping it together. Even if I think they've been kind of fluky with their record, like they still have been pulling out some of these games, and DeMar deserves so much credit. Kobe's had a great season. Io's made jumps. No credit to Nikola Vucevic, though, who's been absolutely atrocious for a while. And Vuce had like one shot and was a minus 14 at halftime last night. I think he ended the game with five shots. We even got Billy Donovan throwing some shade at it, seemingly Kobe White and Io DeSumo for not finding Vuce and missing him, which, I mean, fair enough. Vuce should probably have more than one shot at halftime against a terrible Wizards team who he dominated like a week or two before that. But whatever, I don't care. Vuce is irrelevant at this point. He's the worst plus minus on the team since the All-Star break. I think he's had the most turnovers on the team. I posted this, like, I think Vuce has actually taken more shots than DeMar. DeMar obviously takes a ton more free throws, which kind of skews things, but like, Vuce gets a ton of shots, he gets a ton of minutes, and he has the worst plus minus on this Bulls team since the All-Star break. So like, again, just kind of proving that that contract was awful. Like, he still puts up numbers because whatever, someone's got to get those numbers. But Vuce is just not an effective player. The defense is atrocious for them out there. We saw it at the start of last, like this Wizards game. And it's like, whatever. So yeah, no credit to you, Nikola Vucevic, but I'll credit some of the other guys on the team. But ultimately, just, yeah, it's a whatever, man. Like, we're, they're kind of, it seems like they're just kind of running out of the gas. We're playing out the string here, and we'll see what happens in the play-in tournament if they're 9 or 10, and who knows, man, whatever. And not who knows. Like, we know what's going to happen, but yeah.
So I pulled this stat up, Jace. I was curious to see what is the Bulls' best two-man lineup combination for a minimum of 200 minutes played, just to sort of, like, only give us, like, the two-man combos that have really shared the court a lot together. In five of the Bulls' top 15 lineups appears one man.
Gotta be Caruso, right?
Man is Andre Drummond.
Oh, Drummond. All right.
Five of the Bulls' top 15 two-man combinations. Jason, guess how many times in the Bulls' top 15 two-man combinations Nikola Vucevic appears?
Zero.
Zero is the correct answer. He's not on the court for any of the Bulls' most efficient lineups. There is still some noise here. Number two is actually Kobe White and Dalen Terry. So that just sort of tells you that, like, you can't take too much away from this. But I did think it was interesting that Drummond is all over this. The Drummond-DeRozan pairing has sort of been the Bulls' life raft for so much of this season. When the Bulls have played DeMar with the bench, Drummond sets really good screens for him. He's able to get a lot of putbacks. And somehow they've been staying afloat in those minutes all year long because DeRozan, despite being in his 15th year, is still a really effective player. And Drummond's just had a phenomenal bounce back year. And I think one of the big subplots of the Bulls summer is, can they retain Andre Drummond in free agency? Backup bigs typically don't get big contracts, but, you know, Drummond has earned himself a raise from playing on a minimum veteran deal each of the last 2 years. Really an underrated signing by AK. That will be the one nice thing I say about Arturis Karnišovas on this podcast. Arturis, you stink and I don't like you, but signing Andre Drummond was a pretty good move. They got two good years out of him, and now he is a free agent. So what will the Bulls do without Drummond, who I think has been like a pretty big reason for the team's success this year? Beyond that, Jace, you're just seeing the Bulls wear thin here. Like, Torrey Craig just can't really handle real minutes against good players. Like, even against the Wizards, he was brutal. When he's not hitting his threes, he's kind of just getting played off the court in every situation. Then you got Batum, you got Dalen Terry. Just like not a lot going on here in the Bulls forward room and wing room, which was a problem we talked about coming into the season. So now with 10 games left, Jace, the Bulls need to win five of those games to hit the over and to win you and I each.
I think only four, right? They need to get the 38, or is it 38 and a half? Is it 38 and a half or 37 and a half? I keep forgetting what it is, honestly.
I got 38 and a half. I don't know about you.
That might be right too, which would be unfortunate because that we'll definitely be sweating after this loss on that.
It's coming down to the last game of the season, which we predicted before this year started. So play-in tournament will be here soon. That will be fun. Mickey Mouse March, shout out to you, Noble. Mickey Mouse March is not fun. Jace. And I got to say, I've been working this job. I've been lucky enough to have my digital media job for, 12 years now at this point. And every year I go through the same cycle of watching basically every Bulls game. I've watched almost every Bulls game this year, start to finish. Watching a lot of NBA throughout the season. But then in March, you know, it's college hoops time. Yep. I've been covering the NCAA tournament since that started, and I've had a lot of fun with that. And it is a really nice break in the schedule to basically watch all NBA through the All-Star break and then kind of come around to college hoops, see what's going on there, and digging more into that. So with the Sweet 16 set to be underway in a couple days, I would say, Bulls fans, if you're still glued in, maybe take a little break. Maybe watch some college ball. So elimination basketball, always fun, even if it is an inferior college product. The one thing I wanted to say, Jace, is I was dying at Darnell Mayberry's tweet during the Wizards game where he said, "My only takeaway from this game is, damn, the building is full." Again, I've talked about this previously. I'm not going to shame the fans for showing up to the game. I've been looking at the tickets myself and have been like, kind of want to go to a Bulls game. I've only been to one this year, I think, when my buddy gave me a free ticket. So I'd like to get back at the United Center and get to see some live ball. But the tickets are not cheap for the Bulls. The stands are filled pretty much every game, even against a team as sucky as the Washington Wizards. So
that was a real sucky game. Real, I mean, Jordan Poole just doing insane stuff. Again, Bulls got down 15-0. Both teams couldn't do shit in the fourth. I think there was one point in the fourth quarter where, like, I don't know if anybody else besides DeMar, like, made a field goal for, like, a really long time for the Bulls. Like, it was a terrible basketball game. Like, no doubt about it. But, yeah, those were not Darnell Mayberry's fans. So those were AK's fans in the building at the United Center. Sorry I interrupted you there. If you want to finish your point, please go ahead.
No, my point is that none of this matters, and we will rejoin the Bulls for the play-in tournament in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, did want to talk briefly here about the NCAA tournament, and I mean, with where the Bulls are at, looking at ahead at the NBA draft, right now on Takeathon, they're at the number 11 spot. Of course, if they do make the play, if they do make it through the play-in tournament, into the eighth seed, they will not have the lottery pick. But right now, let's say if they lost? Right, well, they're in the number 11 slot. So looking at whatever in the tournament, who's playing right now in the Sweet 16, or even who was in the tournament before and was out. Any observations you'd like to make, or any guys you want to bring up for the Bulls? I know in your last mock draft that you did published last week, you had the Bulls taking Kal-El Ware of Indiana, who was not in the NCAA tournament. I believe he just officially declared for the draft today. But you had like him there. Number 13, you have Donovan Clingan, UConn. Obviously, UConn is basically the favorite right now, right? And that's right after. And the Bulls could use a center. Kal-El Ware is a center. Duke, Kyle Filipowski, you had at number 11 here. They are in the Sweet 16 as well. So any of these guys in the Sweet 16 or whoever, like I know some of the Kentucky going out early with Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham flaming out early was a pretty big deal. But names in the Sweet 16 or anyone else who has played in the tournament you would like to highlight as Chicago Bulls draft targets?
Well, Jace, I would say in general, you don't draft for need. You should draft the best player available. When you draft for need, bad things happen. However, what's the Bulls' biggest need on this roster right now? I would say it's an athletic big. They just don't have a young athletic big on the roster. Drummond's on a minimum contract. Probably won't be able to bring him back. Vooch stinks, is so slow, and just sucks. It is a bummer to look at, to talk about, to consider, to perceive. So someone like Kal-El Ware, I think, makes sense just to get an athletic big in the big room. He's someone who is not like a super difficult evaluation to me. He is going to be a center who mostly plays drop coverage. He's going to be a guy who is a threat on lobs as a rim roller, someone who can attack the offensive glass a bit, and someone who can maybe space the floor eventually as a shooter. That part of his game is still a work in progress, but I feel better about him stretching the floor eventually long term than most of the other centers in this draft. Klingon is not going to stretch the floor at all. Zach Edey is never going to be a shooter. A couple other bigs in this draft could be considered along with those guys. But in terms of who the Bulls might see at number 12, I think that Ware is the best athlete. He is potentially the best shooter. He's probably the worst passer, which is kind of a bummer because I do like playing through the big man in this era of today's game. If Vooch does anything well, he is pretty good at reading the floor and passing. I think a player like Kyle Filipowski on Duke is pretty similar to Vooch in a lot of ways. Not very fleet of foot, you could say, sort of lacks quickness, but much like Vooch, is more of a theoretical shooter than a real shooter. I don't know Kyle's numbers off the top of my head here, but he's been shooting around like low 30s, low to mid 30s most of the year. Good free throw shooter, like Vooch, a very good passer. So he's an interesting name to watch. Jace, what do you think of Zach Edey's NBA translation? I'm going to tease a story right now. I'm working on a Zach Edey draft story at the moment. I have some Zach Edey thoughts. But after watching a lot of film and digging into the numbers over the last day, I'm curious just what you think. Snap judgment. Do you see Zach Edey as an all-star caliber NBA player, a starting caliber center, a good backup, kind of a shitty backup, someone like Luka Garza who's barely going to be in the league, someone who's going to bust like Frank Kaminsky? Where do you see Zach Edey just as a Big Ten guy?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It does seem like Edey, like some of the consensus around him has kind of flipped, because I feel like even though last year he was like still very, did he win National Player of the Year last year?
Yes, he did.
But I feel like a lot of people are still like, you know, like this dude is just a big oaf. Like, no way can he play in the NBA. He's basically Boban. But I feel like now, I mean, he's obviously like project. You have him top 20. A lot of other places seem to have him like borderline lottery. He's obviously gotten a lot better as a player. Like, I still do like wonder just in terms of the mobility and stuff, like how he'll translate. But like, will he be a bust? Like, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm really bad at this at draft stuff, but like, he has gotten a lot better as a player. Like, he doesn't have much of a shot. So like, the fact that he's slow and like doesn't have range is like all-star caliber. I just don't know. And like, it's not like he's like a special passer. At least I don't think. Like, I think he can make like basic stuff there. And like,
my evaluation of this is that is a weakness in his skill set. Is his passing ability and his like processing, his floor mapping. And in fact, I would say that if you could choose one area where Zach Edey could realistically improve between shooting and passing, I think it's more vital to his long-term success that he improves as a passer than he does as a shooter. He's not a shooter at all right now. I think he's only taken one or two three-pointers in his entire four-year career at Purdue. But I think like obviously in college, everyone's going to double him when he gets the ball in the post. Yeah. And like, how quickly does he map the floor? How quickly does he get the ball out to the open man? To me, it's not that impressive. So I'd like to see him continue to develop that side of his game as he hits the NBA.
Yeah. So like ultimately, like I think he'd probably have like a long career. I would be surprised if he is like a dominant force, but I mean, you never know. I don't never
if
say
the Bulls
never.
Took him. Are you thinking bad pick? We'll see. Good pick.
I like if the Bulls are picking like in the lottery, like I would not be. I feel like I would not be excited about that. Also, because I just hate watching him as an Illinois fan, and he's killed Illinois. But
for the record, same. I do like E.T. for certain teams. I don't want the Bulls to take him. No,
you talk about like athletic big. I mean, he's just not bad. Like just be a big plotter. I mean, like if he comes in the league, I'm curious just like how you're building a team with him. What are you asking him to do in the NBA besides just like be fucking huge? Which again, he is huge. So like. But will he be able to play defense effectively? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like it seems like the center is maybe becoming like a kind of trending back into in vogue again. But again, I picking like in the lottery, I would not be excited about that in terms of like a high potential guy. But like, I feel like he'll probably stick in the NBA for a while. I think he's probably good enough to not get like the Boban like label.
All right. Well, couple other guys I really like.
Yeah, Stephon, any guards, wings playing in this
Stephon
weekend?
Castle, baby. Stephon Castle on UConn. Freshman guard / wing. Real big, strong guard. Probably about 6'6", 190. Definitely plays a power downhill game. Looks like he's going to be a strength-based creator. I saw Corey from No Ceilings give him a young Jimmy Butler label. What a label that is. But he's someone who likes to get 2 feet in the paint and then sort of like pivot, hit little fadeaways like we've seen Butler do from time to time. He can't shoot at all. Major hole in his skill set. I would sort of maybe compare him more to like a Marcus Smart type of someone who's going to be like a connective piece on offense, but will really get after it defensively. I really like him. In general, I don't know if he's going to be there when the Bulls pick, but I think he's pretty interesting. So he's a sweet 16 guy. Donovan Clingan, again, from Utah, or from UConn, another center. Sort of a Rudy Gobert archetype with him, going to be an elite rim protector. Mostly going to play drop coverage. Like ED, is pretty slow. I think he moves a little better than ED. But again, you know, he's going to be slow in the NBA. And like Edie and Clingan, I think both those guys are going to sort of be like part-time players. Yeah. And I think about the Dallas Mavericks, who spent multiple first-round picks to acquire Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford, yet who still close games with 6'8" Maxi Kleba at center because they want to play five out. They want more mobility to switch at the five. So I do wonder like what some of these plotting centers are going to do in the league. Trying to think of more Sweet 16
Dalton
guys.
Dalton Knecht, Tennessee's in Sweet 16, right?
I mean, Terrence Shannon. Yeah. I brought this up, but Terrence Shannon, it must be said, has an outstanding rape charge in the state of Kansas. He has a May 10th court date for when that will start to be decided. But Terrence Shannon's really good at basketball. He's probably a terrible person. If you've read the allegations around that, it has made me not want to talk about Illinois this year. I'm not going to police how anyone else enjoys the team, watches the team, talks about the team. Just me personally, I'm like, this is kind of gross. I don't really want to be like hyping him up. But you know what? I've been watching Terrence Shannon play basketball since he was at Lincoln Park High School. And it's pretty remarkable how much better he's gotten year over year. Big improvement this year as a 3-point shooter, just confidently hitting like pull up threes, yep, which I never saw from him before. Also very fast with the ball at 6'6", just like really good rim pressure guard, killer in transition. So, you know, I hope the Bulls don't draft Terrence Shannon from a moral perspective, but I think Terrence Shannon, if he didn't have these allegations, you know, could be someone they might look at. Who knows? They certainly like their local guys. I don't know.
Two other guys here I got for you in like the top 20-ish on your mock. Dalton Knecht, Jared McCain, Duke, who just had like a huge game.
Thanks for bringing those names up.
Yeah.
Dalton Knecht.
Connect, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, he's kind of like he's kind of like a Tim Hardaway Jr. type where he's like only offense. He's also like basically Kobe White's age. He's like a fifth-year college player. This is his first year playing high-major basketball. Spent 2 years in JUCO, 2 years at Northern Colorado, transferred to Tennessee, has been a scoring supernova as a 6'6 wing who can score from all three levels, is a really good shooter. I kind of view him as like, yeah, like that fifth starter who can shoot with volume from three. A Grayson Allen comp, maybe, if you want, like a pretty convenient one. Grayson Allen's turned himself into a
Grayson Allen's having an incredible season with the Suns. He's shooting like
good for a fifth starter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's shooting 48% from three or something ridiculous like that.
Yep.
So he's interesting. Jared McCain, sniper. I mean, an absolute swagger heavy shooter. Very similar to Reed Sheppard, honestly. Like, they're both small. They both don't get to the rim off the dribble, and they both rip threes, which everyone got to see in Duke's round of 32 win. Jared McCain scored 30 points. I want to say he hit eight threes in that game. He had a reputation coming out of high school in the state of California as an absolute stroker. He has lived up to that at Duke. So, yeah. Jared McCain, he could be a decent pick, I guess. He's too small, though, I think.
Yeah.
And the guy I like, not playing in the Sweet 16, but Tyler Smith, a G League Ignite forward, 6'11", great shooter. And so I think he should be on the Bulls' radar as well. Also love Devin Carter, guard out of Providence. They did not get chosen for the NCAA tournament, one of the bigger snubs in the field this year. Carter is an awesome on-ball defender, really good shooter, and he's pretty good attacking the basket too. So I really like Devin Carter. Just seems like a winning player. He's going to be everyone's favorite veteran college prospect in this draft. We all love Devin Carter, rightfully so. He rocks. Would the Bulls draft another smaller guard? Probably not. But again, like, you should draft the best player, not the best fit. If they came out of this draft with a young athletic big, though, that'd be pretty nice, I think.
Yeah, last thing, the Kentucky guys, they obviously flamed out hard. And like, Reed Sheppard's been getting a ton of hype. You had Rob Dillingham top five. You had Sheppard, I think, seven. That could hurt him at all. You worried about that at all? I know, like,
yeah, Kentucky's, I mean, now weird. I'm kind of thinking Sheppard is going to go back to school. I don't think he should. I think it'd be crazy for him to do it, but he's so tied in with Kentucky. Both his parents are Kentucky basketball legends. So I wouldn't be surprised if he came back. Kentucky kind of needs a guard like him next year, too. They could probably pay him a couple million dollars to come back. I'm assuming their NIL fund is that big. Reed Sheppard, man, he played the worst game of his life at the worst possible time. I mean, he was garbage. He was tentative. He was scared. He just looked awful in that game against Oakland, and you really saw like how his lack of length and lack of size affects him. Jack Golkey, the definitive March Madness hero of this year, was just ripping threes right over his outstretched arms. Like, Reed's coverage was pretty good, but Reed is a 6'3 wingspan. You can't really do much with a 6'3 wingspan in today's era of the game. If you want to like contest a 3-point shot, guys are just going to shoot right over the top of you. I'm pro Reed Sheppard all the way, by the way. I would still draft him. If the Bulls took Reed, I'd be jacked up. I'd say, we got a good player. Let's go. But he's very small.
Shooter. Big time shooter. The Bulls need shooting.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, his goodness comes down to like, so like in college, he shot like 52% from three. Like, his goodness is going to come down to his 3-point percentage. Can he be a mid-40 shooter? If so, he's going to be pretty good. If he's like a 38% shooter, which is still a solid mark, but if he's 38% in the NBA, like, now you're starting to focus more on the limitations than what he does well. So, and then, you know, I would say Rob Dillingham, best on-ball creator in the draft. He's pure magic with the ball in his hands. And for some reason, John Calipari continued to play DJ Wagner, a top recruit who was more lauded than Dillingham and Sheppard coming into the program. He rolled with DJ Wagner the whole year, despite the fact that DJ Wagner stunk out loud. So Calipari, I don't think he's going to lose his job.
Fire him.
His job. I mean, you could do a lot worse than Calipari, right? If they did fire him, like, there's a chance they really slip into, you know, worse than they were. Where they're currently at, but interesting stuff all around, Jays. Well, how you feel about Illinois? You think they're going to go to the Final Four?
I mean, I can't say they're going to beat UConn, but I mean, the way they've played the first, I mean, But the first half against Morehead State was a little nerve-wracking, but dominant second half, and they dominated, I mean, Duquesne. Just that's how you take care of business. They overwhelmed them, they overmatched them. If they're shooting well and they're able to push pace like that and play like any lick of defense, I know like Iowa State's gonna be tough with their defense. They can force turnovers in Illinois. But, like, they don't have like a natural point guard like Domask and Terrence Shannon handle the ball. Like Ty Rogers can't really shoot, can drive to the basket, but not really a natural point. Like, could see the turnover thing being an issue. The defense stuff has been a talking point all year, but like, I kind of think they should beat Iowa State. I cannot say they're going to beat UConn. I mean, UConn is a fucking juggernaut. So like, give me the UConn matchup and I'll give them their best shot. And if they lose in the Elite Eight to UConn, I mean, you cannot be disappointed with that. So it's kind of where my head's at. I mean, it's just great to be back in the Sweet 16. I know the Shannon stuff is kind of hanging over it, but like, I mean, Illinois hasn't been in the Sweet 16 since 2005 team. So like, I was very nervous, even though they are much better than Duquesne, and they proved that. Like, going into that game, I was really nervous just because you never know what can happen in the tournament, but they beat their ass from the start, and it was nice to have a worry-free, basically, second half after they went up, like, 20-plus points at halftime. So, beat Iowa State. I mean, even if they lose to Iowa State, like, getting the Sweet 16 is good. Iowa State's a two-seed. They're a really good team. Give me a good competitive game, but obviously would love to see them make the Elite Eight against likely UConn, because, I mean, UConn is, I don't know if I'm just going to beat them. Do you think UConn's going to repeat here? Do you see anyone beating them?
I picked them to win at the start of the tournament. They still look like the best team. What's interesting about Illinois, though, is they just play five wings. You don't see straight-up wing ball the way that Illinois plays wing ball very often. Yeah, Coleman Hawkins is the center, but really he's a 6'10 wing.
Yeah.
And then your point guard has been Marcus Domask, who's a 6'6 wing. Then you got, you know, all these guys can basically handle, pass, and shoot on the perimeter, with the exception of Ty Rogers, who can't shoot. But when you surround him with five or four other shooters, he's like a good ball handler, and he's very strong for him to like get to the rim, spray it out to shooters. So Illinois plays a pretty fun style. I think I tweeted this a couple weeks ago, but like, they kind of play the way that we thought every team would play in the future in like 2015, when switching became all the rage. You know, people thought like, oh, it's going to be wings at every position. And Illinois is doing that. And it's kind of cool in the fact that like last year, their season was ruined by like not having a point guard. And this year they just said, fuck it, we ball. We're just going to, you know, roll out our five best players. They're all wings. Who cares? Our defense stinks. Who cares? They have the number one offense in the country right now. Illinois, number one in KenPom, percentage points ahead of UConn for the best offense in the country.
And their defense is like 80th or 90th.
And they don't play much defense at all. But like, who cares, baby? Score.
Get
score
buckets. Oh. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the offense sometimes will just turn into Marcus Domask doing his booty ball and just slows it down, backs guys down, and puts up a fadeaway jumper or like hits a shooter or something like that. And then they push pace with Shannon and their other guys. So Coleman Hawkins,
let's go. Marcus Domask, Bulls Summer League. Give me Domask in Summer League. Undrafted.
First NCAA triple double since John Morant in 2019. That was kind of a crazy stat. I don't wrap it up here, but Coleman Hawkins, do you think he'll get drafted? Do you think he's helped himself enough to get, because I feel like he was kind of on the radar in recent years, but he's been so inconsistent, kind of a hothead sometimes, but like playing pretty well this year. When he shoot, his 3-point shooting has improved a ton this year from basketball. Because that was like a lot of the theoretical stuff there with him was like, oh, he's a big guy, 6'10", who can shoot. But like, he's always been in like the 20s percentage was. I think this year he's up to like 37, 38%.
He had a
like,
10-point jump from 28% to 38%.
So you think he'll get drafted?
And he's an 80% free throw shooter. Yeah. Will he get drafted? 6'10", 225. The thing is, like, he's really a wing. Like, he does not protect the paint. And then, like, could he guard NBA fours? I would say probably not. But, yeah, I'm going to say he gets drafted. I think he's a second rounder. Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, you get a big guy.
Definitely not first round. Like but, that. Yeah.
All these teams want to play five out, man. So,
yeah, interesting. Not? So, we'll see. Yeah, I know they play Thursday night. They got like a 9:15 start against Iowa State. That's kind of crazy. But, yeah. All right, that'll do it for us here on this episode of Cash Considerations. Looking ahead for the Bulls, they play at home against the Pacers tomorrow. They go to Brooklyn, I think, Friday. And I think they close out the month in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. I believe that's on Sunday. Who knows? Again, at this point, it's whatever. The Bulls did just beat Indiana. The Pacers did just smack the Clippers, the sliding Clippers last night. Siakam's been playing really well. Tyrese Haliburton might have found a shot again. If the Pacers play like they did the other night, They should destroy the Bulls tomorrow, but I mean, the Bulls have played them tough a few times. They have two wins against them, so we'll see. Again, doesn't really matter. We know where the Bulls are going to end up. But so that's the end of this month here for the Bulls, and then we'll get to the last month of the season in April and the play-in tournament coming up. So, yeah, that's going to do it. So once again, at Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast, as always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. If you like what we're doing here at Cash, tons of great pods all across the network. With the NBA coming down to the wire here, again, tons of great NBA coverage. We got March Madness. We got tons of NFL offseason stuff going on, too. So tons of great podcasts all across the Blue Wire. For us here at Cash, please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. You can find us wherever you listen to your pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those good places. You can follow us on Twitter, @Bulls_J, Ricky @SB_Ricky. Go follow all of Ricky's great NCAA tournament coverage, NBA mock draft stuff over at SBNation.com. And please check out ClutchPoints.com as well. So once again, that's going to do it for us on this episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We will talk to you guys next time.